Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Tuesday to you there, everybody. It is Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester, and we are live with you for the next 2 hours here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday morning. We got a big show for you coming up today. We will get to the Kansas City Royals and that magic number remaining at 8 after a loss last night. We'll have Mike Gillespie of the Kings of Kauffman on later this hour to discuss that. Looking forward, how safe are they? All of those good things for the Kansas City Royals are coming for you. We'll also have Dan Israel in of the Chiefs Radio Network. Big win against the Bengals. Looking forward to the Falcons, who had a win last night on Monday Night Football. Certainly they look much better in week two than they did in week one. And we'll talk to Dan about, you know, what do you do with the injury to Isaiah Pacheco now that we know about Hollywood Brown? How much does that change things? We'll have Dan Israel actually into the next segment, a little different time slot, but still here on a Tuesday. So that's coming for you. Of course, the IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240, taking your calls. You can also leave us your video comments on our Facebook, YouTube, or X stream here on the program. And of course, on 12 News Connected Plus. Glad to have you there. Glad to have you on the radio, on the Odyssey app, however it is that you take in the show. We appreciate you being here. How are you, Tommy? Good morning.
I'm good. Happy Tuesday. Looking forward to jumping into it today. I know we've got a lot to get to, and I love Tuesdays because we can talk both Royals and Chiefs on a Tuesday, and so we kind of are able to get that knocked out, you know, our Kansas City day. And so looking forward to talking both to Dan and to Mike on the program.
Yeah, it'll be good, and we may get into some more KU and K-State here as we've got reactions and things from the coaches coming in. So that's all on the table for you. We had Monday Night Football, and we'll get to the Royals because we've got Mike Gillespie coming up bottom of the hour, and we'll get to the Chiefs in the latest, but the next opponent for the Chiefs are the Atlanta Falcons, who played last night on Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins with a last-minute drive to go down, drive the field, and get the win over the Eagles. I thought that was an impressive win for the Falcons. They can really, really run the ball, which is interesting. And they showed a little bit there toward the end of the game that they can throw it around a little bit. I thought Kirk Cousins found a groove. And that's going to be a pretty good team and a big challenge, I think, the first road game for the Chiefs. But, Tommy, as we saw the Falcons last night, I think it's a knock on the Eagles. I think it was just a nice win, you know, for the Falcons on the road. And they went and got it. And that looks, again, like a playoff caliber team 3 weeks in a row now the Chiefs will have to play here.
Well, I do think that it is a little bit more about the Eagles than it is against the Falcons. I mean, I'm glad for Kirk Cousins. I'm glad that he was able to have that moment in prime time and with his new team and, you know, be able to lead them down the field for a win. But I mean, I think it's almost more disappointing for the Eagles than it is, you know, a big time win for the Falcons. I think that the Eagles disappointed for sure. This is a team that I feel like, you know, they should have beaten. They should have, it shouldn't have been as close as it was down the stretch at home with all the talent that they have. I think that it's, again, a little bit of an indictment on the Eagles and specifically their coaching staff. I'm not bought in on them. I'm bought in on their talent for sure, but I'm just not bought in that they have what it takes to bring it together and actually, you know, continue to compete at a high level in the NFC.
I do. I think they didn't have AJ Brown. I think the Eagles, if they're healthy, the Eagles are really, really good. Now I think they've got to play better defense than they have been, but we knew the secondary for them was going to be a problem. You know, they've drafted a bunch of young players on the defensive line and in the secondary. And, you know, if they miss on those picks, it's going to be a problem. But I think Jalen Hurts looks better than he did a year ago. I think they added Saquon Barkley. And I think when you plop AJ Brown back into that offense, that's a pretty dynamic team. But, you know, health you can't take for granted, as we've learned in the NFL. As we get in the NFL, this bloodbath yesterday, Cooper Kupp is out. Of course, Pacheco with the Chiefs. You can't even keep up with how many players are out and missing significant
McCaffrey
time.
McCaffrey is out. He's going to be out for a minute.
It's everybody. I mean, it's everybody. Deebo Samuel will now miss games. It will be a battle of attrition. And that takes us to the Chiefs, who are fighting it right out of the gates. This battle of attrition, drooling, I was, over the potential of this offense. Well, you don't have Hollywood Brown, and now you don't have Isaiah Pacheco for a while. So they'll have to learn, you know, and they won their first two games against really good teams. And they're going to have to keep sort of, I think, scratching and clawing. Whereas at one point, fully healthy, I thought they would win by big margins, Tommy. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. I think it'll be more like last year. I think they are going to have to scratch and claw and do all of these things to try to just get through these games, at least for the next little bit. Now, if Carson Steele / Samaje Perine can come in and give you the production of Isaiah Pacheco, which I think is possible, then we're probably having a different conversation. But it's just going to be throttled down, I think, from what we hoped it might be in the offseason. But everybody's going through this right now. I mean, everybody is going through this right now. It is insane through 2 weeks how many injuries we've seen, significant injuries we've seen this year in the NFL. If you follow fantasy football, like 8 or 9 guys in the first two rounds now are facing significant injury concern or players around them. It's just been wild. We've seen Tua out for a while. We've got backup quarterbacks coming in. Bryce Young gets benched. Man, what a nutty first couple of weeks in the NFL. And the Chiefs are right there with it, but they're 2-0. And that's what makes the Chiefs the Chiefs. They've got a ton of adversity themselves, and they're 2-0 against the Bengals and the Ravens.
Yeah, I've got a hard time thinking that the Chiefs are just going to roll with Carson Steele and Samaje Perine. I have a really hard time thinking that, and it's not a knock on those guys, but it's just mainly just a lack of depth. And I know that they've got a couple of guys on the practice squad. I don't know what the long-term status of Clyde Edwards-Helaire is. I don't think you can count on him moving forward.
You can in the short term.
Right. I just have a hard time thinking that there's going to be, just those couple of guys. And, you know, even if Brett Veach wants to move somebody up from the practice squad, I don't think that's going to be enough. Andy Reid did say that for now they're going to roll with the guys that they have. I would imagine that means in the short term, you know, it's those two this weekend. But also that Brett Veach has been, you know, crossing names off the list. It sounds like, according to Adam Schefter, Kareem Hunt has a visit scheduled in Kansas City today. What that might look like, I don't know. The interesting thing about Kareem Hunt, there's a lot of interesting things, especially his history with the organization. But what I find interesting is that in my mind, I had kind of lost track of Kareem Hunt a little bit when he left Kansas City. I know that he played for the Browns. I know what he did. But, like, I wasn't really fully paying attention to him during the times. I thought that he was a lot older than what he is. He's only 29. And I know in running back years, that's over the hill. But I thought I'm thinking he's like 32, you know, or 30. Like, he's still on that right side of 30, which when I found that out, I was kind of like, wait a second, he's that young?
He's a little washed. He is not worth the trouble that would stir up to bring him back after, you know, what caused his departure from Kansas City in the first place. And let's be real about it. It would be fine. You know, fans aren't going to, you know, riot or anything like that. But if you're going to go down that, get Jerick McKinnon, or, you know, like, go get somebody else. Like, it's not, I'll put it this way. Kareem Hunt is not going to walk on this roster and be better than Carson Steele at this point of his career. He's not. Carson Steele can do the exact same thing. I don't know if he can catch the ball like Kareem Hunt, but that's why you have Samaje Perine there. So I don't think that one is worth it, but it's familiarity, and the Chiefs are not scared of those types of situations, certainly. So maybe that's the way they go. We'll ask Dan Israel about it here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take it. This is a quick segment because we're getting Dan in a little earlier than normal. So we're going to take a quick break. All of these questions for the Chiefs, what do they do? How do they look now? How do they refocus and regather? Problem at left tackle, problem defending the tight end to some degree. Problem defending a mobile quarterback. They're not going to have that problem this weekend, but it is a little bit of a problem. So we'll have all of this for you as we make our way through. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joins us next. All this football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. It's Sports Daily. All Brockton caster Dan Israel joins us next to talk a little Chiefs.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
And welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are happy to be joined by Dan Israel here. Dan, it has been an eventful start to this season. Bottom line, Chiefs are 2-0 by two toenails. They're 2-0, and they no Hollywood Brown, no Isaiah Pacheco. It's only week three. This is insane.
No, and I feel bad because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, Pacheco's ability to get through an entire season the way he runs was difficult. I did not expect that it would happen in the month of September, but it's a shame. This is a significant enough injury. Pacheco is a really good kid. He's a hard worker. You know, I mean, he was crying in the locker room. It's upsetting. But the nice thing about bones is they tend to heal at a predictable rate. So I think, you know, the Chiefs can count on getting him back at a 6 or 8 week mark. The downside to that is they're not going to let him on the field with a leg injury as a running back until he's fully healed.
What do you think they do in the interim, Dan? I know Andy Reid talked yesterday about how, you know, they're going to roll at least in the short term with the guys that they have. But also that, you know, Brett Veach is probably making phone calls, and Adam Schefter reported that Kareem Hunt will be making a visit to Kansas City today. Do you think that, you know, regardless of whether we're talking 6 or 8 weeks or whatever that timeline looks like, that the Chiefs will bring somebody else in to be in that running back room?
Yeah, I kind of do, Tommy, specifically because of the situation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, I mean, if you can't have three guys, you need two just to run the game, and that gives you no depth whatsoever. So I think it's fortuitous that they signed Perine. Samaje Perine is going to be, I hope, a valuable part of Pacheco's recovery, and that he and Carson Steele. And, you know, I think it's amazing that Carson Steele came out of the woodwork to make this team and really has a running style very similar to Isaiah Pacheco. And so I think it's great. I think what they have is capable of taking over, but I do feel like there's a depth issue there that they need to secure.
Yeah, I think it's enough too. It's what if Steele goes down that I worry about.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so do you get the sense that they're that confident in Carson Steele? I know he fumbled. It was a really good defensive play as much as it was a mistake, I think. But are they confident enough? I would guess, and you know more about this than I would, that they are, or they wouldn't have kept him on the roster and let everybody else go. That when they did that, that told me they were confident in his ability to step in if they need exactly this situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, they see him fumble and they realize that's a rookie mistake. You know, he's got to learn that when he gets turned sideways like that, how to secure the ball, you know, 3 points of contact, and you carry it high and tight, and all that stuff that, that running backs go through. I think the biggest issue with Carson Steele is going to be the running back's role in pass blocking and in the passing game, because a lot of these plays have that option, right, where we can pass to the back out in the flat. I just don't think they've probably seen enough out of him yet to say that they feel comfortable and confident. But, you know, we've seen on-the-job training before with this kind of situation. In fact, Pacheco was kind of that way, you know, but he came out of the gate so strong. And I think Steele's going to be fine back there. I think it helps to have Samaje Perine. You know, you've got a veteran presence there, and you got somebody you can ask questions without and go to your coach and give away the ghost that you know, or give away the, you know, the bag that you don't know maybe quite what's going on. So I think over the next couple of weeks, you'll see some growth and some mistakes, but I think it'll come together very quickly.
Well, we know that Hollywood Brown, you know, more than likely is going to miss probably the remainder of the regular season, kind of up in the air about what that timeline will look like, at least getting into potentially the playoffs and beyond. There were a few moments, Dan, in the game on Sunday that as I'm watching, I'm thinking, man, like Hollywood Brown would be a game changer, you know, it, depending on, you know, which play we're talking about. But there was like that one in particular, the Cam Taylor-Britt interception against Xavier Worthy, where Worthy is really fast, but he wasn't able to get any kind of separation from Taylor-Britt. That was an incredible interception. But in that moment, I thought, I don't know, maybe Hollywood Brown could have gotten some separation. How do you feel like the Chiefs' passing game is evolving and changing, especially knowing that they're not going to have Hollywood Brown for the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can lose a guy with the quality of player and the years of experience that Brown has and not feel it. Now, is the room devoid of talent? No, because you've still got Juju Smith-Schuster in there. We saw a huge play to Rice Sunday. That was a phenomenal, you know, throw and catch. And so you got Xavier, you still got Sky Moore. I mean, you know, let's see what Sky is capable of doing. We saw him out there in a couple of situations with the special teams. But I feel like it would be hard, Tommy, to not miss a guy like that. Unfortunate was the news that it's going to be all season. I mean, I can only suspect, certainly not a doctor, don't play one on TV, but I can only suspect that this injury just wasn't healing, you know, and that they had to, you know, kind of kick to an alternative of surgery. And it's a significant enough surgery that it's going to hold him out months. You do have we do stand the chance of getting him back at a very good time in the postseason. But man, it would have been nice to have him all season. He just looks so good at camp. I know Josh Klingler, my sideline guy, says, you know, we never had him. Just forget it. Just pretend like we never had him. It's like, I was at camp. I saw him catch those balls.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing to say. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that all season.
And then it sort of piles up, too, because we haven't seen Travis Kelce fully as a full weapon yet. And the problem I would see is Kingsley Suamataya just got dominated in that game. And if they're going to need to help at left tackle, whether it's Wanye or Suamataya, that probably limits how much Travis Kelce can get out there right now and be a pass catcher too. I don't know what the game plan against the Falcons will be, but they've run it more than they've thrown it. And even without Isaiah Pacheco, I'm not sure how much that changes until they can get Mahomes protected properly.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think about? I to some degree, I think part of the game plan in the last 2 weeks has been to tell these teams, hey, this isn't all about Travis Kelce anymore.
Totally.
And so I think that once they loosen up and they stop double and triple teaming Travis Kelce, we'll see him kind of reemerge, because that's what he saw all year last year, was sometimes three guys on him. And he still managed to be productive, which was amazing. But I feel like this is a concerted effort by the play calling to kind of remind teams that things are different this year, and they're going to be different this year. And I, you know, it's the rope-a-dope, right? as soon as they forget about Travis Kelce being a primary target, he's going to light it up and go for 115 a game, you know.
Going back to Kingsley Suamataya, Danny looked like a rookie on Sunday. And you know, 48 hours after the fact, my opinion on it, I think, has changed a little bit. I was angry kind of in the short term because I felt like it was pretty obvious that, you know, he was getting dominated, and I wanted to see some help. I wanted to, you know, even maybe see him be pulled earlier than what he was. After thinking about it for a while, I don't know, I think there might be a part of me that kind of thinks now, you know, he's a rookie. He took his lumps and they kind of threw him into the fire. And that sort of performance, that sort of situation may end up paying dividends in the long term. Do you feel the same way about what you saw out of him? Or is it something where, you know, he was just clearly overmatched and shouldn't have been in that position at all?
Well, I think all of those are a factor, because in the first 2 weeks, you've played some substantial defense. You know, you played against the Ravens defense can be just absolutely smothering. And you're talking about the Bengals, who, while they didn't play well in week one, they certainly played better against us, and their defense was getting things done. I do think Kingsley's making rookie mistakes. I somewhat was surprised that coach did sit him down. I think they felt he was overwhelmed enough that it was like, all right, let's get him out of the game so he can process this information, not in real time, and he can watch. And but the options there are, you know, I mean, it was great to see Wanya Morris catch a pass, but, you know, you're talking about guys that the left tackle is just not an easy spot, and it's not an easy spot to fill from a backup standpoint either. So he has to come up to speed quicker. I think the coaches expect that of him. I will say he's a smart kid, and I think the expectation there is worthy. I mean, you know, we had kind of peaked with Wanya, and it just wasn't quite where the team wanted him. But I don't think Kingsley's hit that yet, but he is struggling to learn. And unfortunately, in this league, there's just no relief from that, right? I mean, every week you've got to be on your game, and he's got to be a little faster. He's got to process information better. And he's just, there are just times when you have to out physical that guy across from you, no matter who it is. And, you know, he's going to play the Max Crosbys, right? You know, these are guys he's going to have to figure out a way to do battle against. But I do think it's awful young in his career to indict him yet. But I thought it was substantial that coach sat him down last week.
I'd like to see Wanya at least start. But yeah, I think it will be a combination of those guys. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network executive producer, joining us for a weekly visit. We appreciate Dan's time. Dan, let's go to the other side of the ball. I would like to think it's solvable, but tight end defense is a big, big problem at the moment. Cincinnati, who Joe Burrow does not throw to tight ends. And Cincinnati acted like that is the basis of their offense. That game plan was effective for them, and they're going to play some really good tight ends over the course of a season. But I don't even know that it matters that they play a good tight end, because Cincinnati doesn't really have a good tight end anyway. Mm-hmm. How solvable is that? It feels like that would be something that you could solve throughout the course of a season, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I do think they'll solve it. I think it's a matter of striking the balance. You know, I think they're trying to protect that secondary in their concerns of the absence of Snead. And so what gets overlooked is that intermediate route, which almost all tight end routes start out as intermediate routes, right? Now, how they get 40 yards downfield without coverage, that's not right. And that can't happen. They've got to figure out a way to not let that happen. But I think that is a growth issue with the Chiefs defense right now, in a way that they'll figure this out in the month of September. That's the beauty of Spagnuolo, is he's such an active coach, and you know, things are going to get easier here a little bit for them, and so maybe they can grow. I thought Nick Bolton had a much better game. I still think the absence of Willie Gay here is significant. It's not just the loss of Snead, but Bolton had a much better game this week, I thought, and so we'll see if those guys can kind of continue to gel. The fact that they didn't get to play together a lot at camp and in preseason, I think, was a factor. And we've seen that on the opponent's side too, where, you know, the offense for the offensive line for the Ravens just was completely out of sorts, penalty after penalty, and it was due to the lack of play. So I'm hoping, Jacob, that you know, just playing together is going to improve that. But I do think Spagnuolo will be active in trying to figure out a way to shut that down, because you can't leave an opening like that. Teams will take advantage.
I'm glad that you mentioned Nick Bolton, because I agree with you. I think he had a much better game on Sunday. It looked like he had his motor back to an extent. And then really, I thought Trent McDuffie played a phenomenal game as well. It's really, we know the background with Ja'Marr Chase, and we know that Chase likes to talk. We know, you know, all the different things surrounding him when he plays Kansas City. I thought McDuffie did really a phenomenal job just sort of locking in and you know, kind of taking Chase away to an extent. To me, after watching kind of what happened in the secondary against the Ravens, it was encouraging to see not only Trent McDuffie step up, but then also I thought Shamari Connor had a phenomenal game as well. So at least, you know, as we're trying to, I know there's been a lot of like not ideal things happen in the last 48 hours for the Chiefs, but looking silver lining, looking positively, I'm encouraged by, you know, what I saw from the secondary overall.
Yeah, Ja'Marr, I thought, had a great game and really played well, had the scoop and score. I think anytime you get a receiver the stature of Ja'Marr, the one thing that when he melted down, I mean, that comes from frustration. And so the defense must have been getting under his skin enough that he had a complete meltdown. The guy he's been in the league long enough to know you don't mess with referees. You know, he's just never going to win that. Whether it's words or whether it's hands, you're never going to win that. So I thought that was interesting to see the level of frustration he was at. And you got to give a little bit of that to the defense, you know, for keeping him in check the entire game. Now, I'm sure his situation with Cincinnati is in play there too. That's got to be frustrating. But it was I thought a much better performance this week overall from a defense, even from the defensive line. I thought Chris Jones was getting more effective. Like George Karloftis was playing much better. And I just felt like overall there was a better performance in week two than week one. So I'm excited to see the progression there.
One more for you, Dan. We talked about that tight end defense. Kyle Pitts is there. Kirk Cousins seems to be loosening up. Bijan Robinson is there, a talented back. What did you see from the Falcons last night as it pertains to the Chiefs? That on the road feels like it's going to be a pretty tough matchup on both sides of the ball, quite frankly.
Yeah, they played very well last night against an Eagles. I don't think the Eagles are quite the team they were. I think the loss of Jason Kelce was significant. But they're still a very good team, and certainly Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. And to play them at the link, to play them in Philadelphia as strong as they did was surprising to me, frankly. They may be pulling that team together quicker than I am.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Anticipated, you know, I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, but I think he played well enough last night to win, right? And so you take that same game back home, you automatically get a bump for it being your stadium. Now, can the Chiefs go in there and win? They can. They're a better team than the Falcons for sure, but I think it's going to be maybe not quite the cakewalk that we thought it was going to be.
I agree. It'll be, and it's another primetime game now, the second in 2 weeks. We'll see if they do anything at running back of significance. And in the short term, is probably going to be the Carson Steele P. Ryan show. Dan, we appreciate it. That Falcons game has got me pretty fired up. I think that's going to be fun. I'm glad they bounced back last night to not glad for the Chiefs, but they certainly look better than they did in week one.
You know, the one thing, Jacob, I'll give Coach Reed and really the locker room in general, they like playing good teams. They'd rather play strong teams than weak teams because they know iron sharpens iron that way. And so they're probably very excited to go down there and play them a better team than what it was. As a fan, I like the, you know, my heart's a little, I'm 60 years old. Those close games are getting to me, man.
Well, listen. All of these things we've talked about, like their issues for the Chiefs, they're 2-0 and they beat the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that's the margin in this league.
Could be a couple of critical tiebreakers too. So, it's quite the lead. You're talking about the Bengals are 0-2, the Ravens are 0-2, the Titans are 0-2, the Chiefs are 2-0. So, yeah, it feels like the driver's seat early in September. It's despite the bad news. So, it's good things for us as fans.
All right, Dan, we appreciate it. Go Chiefs. Good luck. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Go Chiefs, guys.
There goes Dan. Drill. Tommy, that's the crux of this, isn't it? The 49ers lost a game. The Eagles lost a game. All of these teams right now, you know, the Texans almost lost a game to the Bears, struggled. Is anybody right now, like who – And I would say you got to factor in the injuries to the Chiefs in this discussion too. At this point, like, is there a clear heads and shoulders favorite at the moment as we look across the league? You know, after week one, it was like, okay, it's the Chiefs and it's the 49ers. Well, fast forward about 7 days, and the Chiefs are without Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco now for significant time. The Niners without Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel for a little while. So okay. I mean, the Texans are the team that haven't had any significant injuries, I suppose. But they, I mean, I don't even.
But you know who the best team in the NFL has been through 2 weeks? The Saints have been the best team in the NFL.
The Saints, yeah, and maybe the Vikings. Yeah,
I mean, if you're just looking at straight up point differential, it's the Saints. I mean, they've put up 91 points in 2 weeks, and they've only given up 29. What they've done, and of course, it's extremely early. It's 2 weeks into the season, but from a division standpoint, the NFC South, at least through 2 weeks, looks for real outside of the Panthers, because you saw what the Falcons did last night. The Buccaneers are 2-0. They look really good. And then what's going on with the Saints? I certainly didn't anticipate that.
I can get over like teams losing games when they're not supposed to. That doesn't throw me off very much. It's these injuries that are throwing me off right now. Like I'm trying to like sort just through that across the league. Just wild, wild, wild. You mentioned the Saints. One of those wins was against Panthers, and the other is against the Jekyll and Hyde Cowboys. But I've been impressed by them for sure. Panthers, though, are moving away from Bryce Young.
Uh-huh.
Two starts into his second year as a starter, and here we go. I want to talk about that because I told you I've been like fascinated by Caleb Williams. And by the way, here's a fun stat Brandon Zinner had for me yesterday. I don't know where he got this. J.J. McCarthy right now is tied for the lead in rookie quarterbacks with touchdowns thrown.
That tells you about the rookie quarterbacks that are out there.
Now. Yeah. It's been rough for the rooks.
It's been bad for Bo Nix. It's been rough for Jaden Daniels. It's been rough for Caleb Williams. I mean, he's taking his lumps right now.
I want to go through that because I want to compare all of them to Bryce Young. And what I don't remember a number one overall pick looking as bad as Bryce Young has looked. And I hate that because I like that guy, but he looks awful. And he's getting benched for Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton has a pulse, he will find his way to starting games in the NFL. You can count on that. And he's now the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. We'll touch on that. We've got Royals talk. The magic number is at 8. That's coming up top of the hour. We'll have Kings of Kauffman Mike Gillespie in to talk about that for us. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Great golfing weather out there. It's a little warm, but hey, you'll take it. You got those nice, cool mornings. They got 36 holes of golf for you to choose from and all the other great amenities, the tennis, all of it. Great clubhouse. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Tommy and I are both members. We love it. Families love it. Take a tour. Check it out. We appreciate their support of Sports Daily. We'll come right back. What in the world's going on with these young quarterbacks? That's next. Quarterbacks in general in the NFL, quite frankly. It's next on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Our text to win contest here. You can win a free iced tea from HTO. More than 20 flavors to choose from of sweet and unsweet iced tea. Best there is. And a coffee drink, iced or hot, including the new fall flavor options, the butter pecan mocha or the dirty chai apple crisp. All for you. You can win one of each right now by texting to win the keyword tea. Your number is 20357. Just text the keyword T to that number, TEA, and you can win one of each. These are good for all three of the Wichita Metro locations. Good luck, everybody. All right. So we're talking about young quarterbacks here as we transition, as we saw in primetime, Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud sort of became that next one, right? We saw, you know, Mahomes, and then we saw Herbert, and we saw Burrow, and all these young quarterbacks succeeding for a while. And then we see C.J. Stroud, and it's like, okay, he's the next guy, and I think he is. And then everybody else has really struggled. Caleb Williams, I don't know how much I am fascinated by him as a prospect because I really liked him as a prospect, like him as a prospect. I don't think he's looked particularly bad. I think his offensive line is atrocious. If you watch that game against the Texans, I mean, it was laughable how much fire he was under. But I think he looked like his body language, everything to me for him looks okay. And then you look on the other side with Bryce Young, last year's number one overall pick. And Tommy, I'm not sure that I've ever seen a quarterback look more lost back there. And he's been benched now for Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, comparisons on social media between the two. And I think it's unfair to Caleb Williams because we're talking about two games as opposed to Bryce Young is in his second season now.
I don't think Bryce Young's ever looked as comfortable as Caleb Williams, even in his struggles, has looked through his first two games.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I'm not a massive Caleb Williams fan. I remember, like, I was the guy that said that the Bears should hang with Justin Fields and not make that trade. You know, so I don't ultimately believe that Caleb Williams is going to be this superstar in the NFL. But I do think that he absolutely has looked better through two games than Bryce Young has looked in a year and two games. There's no doubt about that. As far as, you know, other rookie quarterbacks, it's difficult because there are a couple of other ones. You mentioned C.J. Stroud. I've always been big on Anthony Richardson. Yeah, had it not been for an injury last year, he got off to a really good start and has looked okay, you know, so far in his second year. So I don't know. I think that like there have been some other circumstances that, you know, you can kind of point to. Trevor Lawrence is another example of somebody that came out with a bunch of hype, and you know, he's put together a career that, again, I would say is okay at best so far.
Meh.
But there really hasn't been that big step forward from somebody like Trevor Lawrence to be able to, you know, solidify himself in the top tier of NFL quarterbacks. So it's tough. It's really difficult when you are trying to assess who your new franchise quarterback is going to be when you take a really, really high draft pick to bring that person in, and you're basically strapping the hopes and dreams of the franchise long term onto their backs, whether or not it's going to pan out.
I mean, it's bad right now for quarterbacks in general. The numbers are down again, and they were down last year too. And I don't know what that is or where it's, you know, coming in. But it's not just the young quarterbacks. It's kind of everybody right now. Rick says that none of the quarterbacks should play as rookies, Mahomes and Brady, and they're better because of it. I don't agree with that completely. I do think if you can afford it, sitting them is a great path to it, but I can't watch what CJ Stroud just did as a rookie, what Justin Herbert did as a rookie, and you know, say, yeah, that they shouldn't have been starting as rookies. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule. I think if you're going to start as a rookie, what Caleb Williams is looking at this year is about as good as you can do. Now, their offensive line's terrible, and if they don't protect him better, he's not going to stand a chance this year. I don't know that it's going to get any better, but that was rough to watch. I mean, he was absolutely under fire on Sunday night. So hopefully that gets better for his sake. Bo Nix, he doesn't have a lot to work with. He's the other one everyone keeps looking at this year. And Jaden Daniels, I think Jaden Daniels is kind of right where I thought he'd be. Like, he's going to make some plays, but it's going to take him time to develop as an NFL passer.
I think really out of the four that are, you know, on active rosters right this second, I guess Michael Penix Jr. is technically on an active roster, yeah, but I don't count him. I think I am most happy for Drake May and the situation that he's in right now in New England, because,
yeah,
you know, they've kind of allowed him to be able to get acquainted and acclimated with the NFL. It helps that Jacoby Brissett has you know, played okay through the first couple of games.
If you're going to watch a quarterback, he's a good one to watch.
It is. And, you know, I know that Jerod Mayo, I think it was yesterday, talked about how Drake May in practice, it's kind of a 70-30 split right now. And so they're really trying to bring Drake May along with the understanding that he will be the quarterback for the Patriots. And Jacoby Brissett is kind of that placeholder, that bridge quarterback, if you will. And that, at least for right now, has worked out decently well for the Patriots. Nobody expects the Patriots to be a contender right now, so that sort of helps things a little bit. You know, they're not expected to jump out and be this, you know, dominant team. So they have the opportunity to bring Drake May along and take their time with his development. I like that, as opposed to a Bo Nix or a Jaden Daniels just kind of being thrown into the fire.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's in a pretty good position to succeed there. I don't disagree with that at all. It's a strange time in the league, in this league where quarterbacks mean everything, that they have struggled as much as they have. And I don't know what to make of that. And, you know, I do think the good thing is we know why Mahomes has had issues. We just went over it with Dan Israel for a long time. Joe Burrow looked better, right, this past week, certainly. I think they're coming around, but these injuries aren't going to help. We're not going to see Matt Stafford look very good, right, with all the injuries. All of the quarterbacks, when you look around, I do think Jalen Hurts looked better last night. I think he looked significantly better than he looked last year. Kirk Cousins, I was worried after the first week. I was worried about after the first half last night. He found a groove a little bit. They got a lot of weapons in Atlanta. Atlanta's a pretty good team. The way their defense is played, that's a pretty good team. He looks like he's going to be good. I just want these quarterbacks to be awesome, though. Jared Goff hasn't been particularly good yet this year. There's a better league when the quarterbacks are good, and the young guys right now, just whatever defenses are doing that's making it tough on the older guys, it's making it really tough.
I think that also, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. And again, I know it's only 2 weeks, and this relates directly to us talking about kind of the best teams in the NFL through 2 weeks. Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield are a couple of quarterbacks that,
yep,
you know, nobody would have thought going into the year that they would be top 10 quarterbacks. They're right now, they're pretty close to that. Geno Smith has looked good the other three weeks. The Seahawks have been relatively quiet. They're probably the quietest 2-0 team in the NFL.
They're going to be a fun team to bet for a while, I would suspect. They didn't even have Kenneth Walker in that game, by the way. One common thread for those quarterbacks you just mentioned, their players are all healthy. I mean, they got all their weapons. I mean, it could be as simple as that, too. A lot of these quarterbacks that have, Joe Burrow hadn't had T. Higgins, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Hollywood Brown. Like all of these, you know, big time, big name quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts last night didn't have A.J. Brown. Brock Purdy won't have Deebo Samuel. So we'll see. It's been an interesting start to the NFL season. Maybe next week will be a little chalkier when we go to bet it. We'll have PJ Glasser on later this week to talk through the strangeness from a betting perspective. The underdogs demolished this week, including the Falcons last night. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little baseball. We're going to talk a little Kansas City Royals with you. Michael Espy joins us from Kings at Kauffman. The magic number remains at 8 as they drop one to the Tigers. So we'll keep our eye on that. We appreciate Prairie Pride Coffee for fueling us up here every morning at KFH and around the Odyssey family. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little baseball when we return on Sports Daily.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.